Hey, everybody, welcome back to Meteorology Matters. It's great to have you with us as always.
Glad to be here.
So today we're diving into something really interesting that y'all have sent us a bunch of articles about recently. And it seems like it's kind of making a comeback, and that's the Alt National Park Service.
The Alt NPS.
Yeah, so to help us kind of unpack all this and connect the dots, we have an expert here with us who's really good at kind of seeing the big picture.
Well, thank you. It's a fascinating topic.
It is. It is. So these articles, you know, point out that this whole Alt NPS thing first kind of popped up in 2017 as a reaction to the Trump administration's, you know, attempts to control the narrative and like the flow of information, especially when it came to climate change.
Right. Yeah. Particularly around climate change, there was a lot of pushback during that administration around the communication of science.
Right. And it's interesting because now in 2025, it's like we're seeing kind of a resurgence of that same kind of energy. You know, it's like history repeating itself in a way.
Exactly. It seems like every time there's a perceived threat to the environment or to scientific integrity, these citizen-led movements emerge as a form of resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me in these articles was the Badlands National Park incident back in 2017.
Oh, yeah. That was a pivotal moment.
You know, when the park's official account tweeted about climate change facts, and then the tweets were just like, deleted.
Yeah, it was a really blatant attempt to censor information, and it really sparked this wave of unofficial rogue accounts popping up to fill the void.
And that's where the Alt NPS Twitter account kind of came onto the scene, right?
Exactly. At AltNet Parkser, which is what it was called at the time, it just exploded in popularity and became a voice for people who were concerned about the environment and wanted to stay informed.
And I think a lot of people just assumed that it was park rangers running that account.
Right. There was this widespread belief that it was park employees who were sort of going rogue and speaking out against the administration. But
it wasn't.
One of the articles we were sent includes this really interesting interview with one of the creators of the account.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out it was actually this group of international activists and journalists who were behind it.
Really?
Yeah, they were really worried about the implications of the Trump administration's policies on the environment. So they decided to create this platform to share information and mobilize people.
Hmm. That's wild. And they were anonymous, right? For obvious reasons.
Right. They were afraid of repercussions if their identities were revealed. And they actually talk in the interview about these internal debates they had about how to operate the account. Should they stay completely impartial or should they take a more politically active stance?
I can only imagine how tough those conversations must have been.
Oh, absolutely. They were walking this tightrope, trying to be a source of credible information while also navigating the very real risks associated with speaking out against a powerful administration.
And eventually they ended up handing the account over, didn't
they? Yeah, they did. They changed the handle to @NotAltWorld. And then there was another account that kind of took over called @LLTUSNPS, which was raising money for the National Park Service.
Right. And even that account claimed to be supporting the parks, but it wasn't actually run by park employees either.
Exactly. It was all very murky. And there was a lot of concern at the time about these rogue accounts potentially misleading the public, especially since they had such large following.
It was the Wild West of social media activism.
It really was. And now here we are in 2025 and the Alt NPS is back, this time mainly on Facebook. And they're still all about protecting the environment, but their focus seems to have shifted a bit.
Right now they're directly criticizing the actions of the second Trump administration, which, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they've been pretty active since the inauguration back in January.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it's a really interesting evolution. They're still pushing back against perceived threats to the environment, but the context has changed. They're calling out specific actions by the administration, everything from dismantling USI to pressuring federal employees to resign.
Yeah, let's actually take a look at some of their Facebook posts, because some of them are pretty eye-opening. Their page is just full of examples of what they see as the administration crossing the line.
What kind of examples are we talking about?
Well, like this one about Elon Musk's staffers being present at USI and having access to sensitive data.
Okay, that's definitely something worth digging into. What's the Alt NPS's take on that situation?
They're basically raising concerns about transparency and potential conflicts of interest. You know, USAID is now barred from any external communication. Key operations are frozen, and these Musk staffers are just kind of there in the midst of it all.
Hmm. And this is all happening under the guise of efficiency, right?
Right. They claim they're just trying to streamline things and cut costs, but the Alt NPS is painting a very different picture.
It sounds like they're suggesting that there's a deeper agenda at play, perhaps an attempt to control the narrative around USAID's work, or even to undermine its mission.
Exactly. And then there's this other post about pressure on federal employees.
Yeah.
The Alt-NPS is claiming that employees are being forced to resign or
Yeah.
face termination, which, I mean, that sounds pretty drastic.
That does sound concerning, especially in light of what we've been talking about with the suppression of dissent within the government.
Right. And if you connect that to the broader political landscape, it raises some pretty big questions about the administration's motives.
Like, are these actions truly about efficiency as they claim, or is there something else going on?
Exactly. Are they trying to silence dissenting voices within the government itself? Are they trying to stack these agencies with people who are loyal to the administration?
It's hard to say for sure, but the Alt-NPS is definitely raising some valid concerns.
And it's not just limited to individual agencies either. They're also calling out executive orders that seem to target diversity and inclusion programs. And they even mention efforts to reshape the science advisory panels at the EPA.
Wow, so it's like they're connecting all these seemingly separate actions and suggesting a pattern, a coordinated effort to dismantle these safeguards.
Exactly. They're creating this narrative of a systemic effort to undermine established institutions and policies related to both environmental protection and social justice.
That's a powerful narrative, and it's no wonder it's resonating with so many people.
It's definitely a lot to process, and it raises some important questions about the role of government transparency and the power dynamics at play, but it's also incredibly engaging. I can totally see why this movement is connecting with people.
What stands out to you the most from all of this? What do you find the most striking about the Alt-NPS's claims?
Honestly, it's the level of detail they're providing. You know, it's not just vague accusations. They're giving specific dates, times, names of individuals. They're even citing legal statutes.
That's a great point. They're really positioning themselves as a credible source of information. They're doing their research and presenting their findings in a way that's both compelling and informative.
And it's clearly working. The public is definitely paying attention. The comments on their Facebook posts are full of people expressing outrage, demanding answers, thanking the Alt-NPS for speaking out the round. They're sharing their own experiences, contacting their representatives, even organizing protests.
It really shows you how powerful social media can be, not just as a way to spread information, but as a tool for collective action.
Absolutely. It's a space where shared outrage can be voiced, where people who feel unheard or ignored by traditional power structures can find a sense of solidarity and connection.
And that can be a really powerful force for change. You know, before we move on from that, I think it's really important to remember that we're talking about real people here.
Yeah.
You know, people whose lives and careers are being impacted by all of this. Like, the anxiety and fear that federal employees are experiencing right now is something that we shouldn't overlook.
That's a really good point. And these articles, you know, they paint a pretty disturbing picture of what's happening inside these agencies. There's this one from The Verge that talks about federal workers feeling scared and betrayed. And they describe this like atmosphere of paranoia, constant vigilance, and just a breakdown in communication.
It's like the sense of being trapped, you know,
Yeah.
caught between this rock and a hard place. They're deeply committed to public service and the missions of their agencies, but they're also facing these threats to their jobs, their reputations, even their personal safety.
And it goes beyond just job security. You know, the Alt-NPS and these articles are highlighting how the Trump administration's actions are really fostering this like hostile work environment, especially for those who are perceived as not aligning with the administration's political
Yeah,
views.
it's this climate of fear and intimidation where
Yeah.
people are afraid to speak out for fear of retaliation.
And we're seeing reports of employees being pressured to resign, facing retaliation for speaking out, and even being subjected to like loyalty tests or investigations based on their perceived political beliefs.
It's a really worrying trend because it undermines the whole foundation of a nonpartisan civil service.
It's like that flood the zone strategy
Yeah.
is playing out on a personal level. Like employees are just bombarded with executive orders, policy changes, conflicting information, and it's like they don't know what to do or who to trust.
Right. It creates the sense of helplessness and demoralization because the rules can change at any moment, and speaking out can have serious consequences.
The Verge article even mentions that some employees are resorting to using like encrypted messaging apps like Signal
Wow.
for work-related conversations because they're afraid that their communications on other platforms could be monitored or leaked.
That's really telling. It speaks to the level of distrust that's permeated these agencies. You know, they no longer feel safe communicating openly, even with their colleagues.
it's a stark reminder of how quickly things can unravel when you have this erosion of democratic norms and trust in institutions starts to crumble.
Right. It's not just about politics. It's about the very fabric of our society
and
the values that underpin a functioning democracy.
And the repercussions, you know, they reach far beyond just the individuals who are directly affected. Right?
Of course.
Like a demoralized and depleted federal workforce
ultimately
hampers the government's ability to effectively serve the public and fulfill its essential functions.
Yeah, there's a ripple effect.
Right.
You know, the fear, the uncertainty, the loss of experienced personnel, it all contributes to this declining morale and a sense of paralysis within these agencies.
And that paralysis can have a huge impact on everything from environmental protection and scientific research to public health and safety.
Absolutely. And when you have dedicated public servants who are being driven out or silenced, it's the American people who ultimately suffer the consequences.
So what can be done to address this crisis?
Like, how do we support the federal workforce? Where do we go from here?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
I don't think there are any easy answers.
Right.
But I think it's going to require this multifaceted approach that involves legal challenges, legislative action, public awareness campaigns, and even individual acts of courage and solidarity.
We need to hold those in power accountable for their actions. Protect whistleblowers, reaffirm the importance of a nonpartisan civil service, free from political interference and intimidation.
It's a fight that demands the participation of everyone who values a functional democracy and a government that serves the needs of its people, not just the interests of a powerful few.
You know, this deep dive into the Alt National Park Service, it's really taken us on a journey.
It has.
From climate change denial and citizen resistance to the very heart of the federal government.
Yeah, it's been fascinating.
Yeah.
And at times quite unsettling.
And this journey is far from over.
No, it's not.
You know, these events that we've been talking about, they're still unfolding.
Right. Their full impact.
Yeah.
You know, remains to be seen. But one thing's for sure.
Yeah.
The fight for environmental protection.
Mm-hmm.
Government accountability, and really the very soul of our democracy, it requires our attention, our engagement, our unwavering commitment.
It does. And if you're feeling overwhelmed or discouraged by all of this, remember that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Millions of people share these concerns and are working to make a difference. Connect with them. Get involved. Stay informed.
We can make a difference if we work together.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about the Alt National Park Service and,
you
know, their resurgence in 2025 and how they're really calling out the Trump administration and this group called DOGE. But before we wrap up, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and focus on the human side of all this.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, we've been talking about these big picture issues and these political maneuvers, but at the end of the day, this is affecting real people.
Exactly. And we have these articles that really shine a light on what's happening inside these agencies. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this one from The Verge that talks about federal workers feeling scared and betrayed. And they describe this atmosphere of paranoia, you know, constant vigilance, just this breakdown in communication.
It's like they're living in a constant state of anxiety.
Yeah, and they feel trapped.
Mm.
You know, like they're caught between a rock and a hard place. Because on the one hand, they're deeply committed to public service and the missions of their agencies. But on the other hand, they're facing these very real threats to their jobs, their reputations, even their personal safety.
And it's not just about job security either. It's mm-hmm. about this hostile work environment that's been created where people are afraid to speak out for fear of retaliation.
Yeah, we're seeing reports of employees being pressured to resign,
mm-hmm.
you know, facing retaliation for speaking out, even being subjected to loyalty tests or investigations based on their perceived political beliefs.
It's really disheartening because it undermines the whole idea of a nonpartisan civil service, you know, where people can serve their country without fear of political reprisal.
It's like that flood the zone strategy that we talked about earlier.
Mm.
It's playing out on a personal level. You know, these employees are just bombarded with executive orders, policy changes, conflicting information, and it's like they're just drowning in it all.
It's no wonder they feel helpless and demoralized because the rules can change on a dime and speaking out can have serious consequences.
The Verge article even mentions that some employees are resorting to using encrypted messaging apps like Signal for work-related conversations because they're so afraid that their communications on other platforms could be monitored or leaked.
Wow, that really speaks to the level of distrust that exists within these agencies. You know, they don't even feel safe communicating with their colleagues.
It's a pretty stark reminder of how quickly things can unravel when you have this erosion of democratic norms and trust in institutions starts to crumble.
And it's not just about politics, you know, it's about the very fabric of our society and the values that underpin a functioning democracy.
And the repercussions of all this, they extend far beyond just the individuals who are directly affected.
Of course.
You know, when you have a demoralized and depleted federal workforce, it ultimately hampers the government's ability to effectively serve the public and fulfill its essential functions.
Yeah, there's this ripple effect, you know, the fear, the uncertainty, the loss of experienced personnel. It all contributes to declining morale and the sense of paralysis within these agencies.
And that paralysis can have a huge impact on everything from environmental protection and scientific research to public health and safety.
Right, because when you have dedicated public servants who are being driven out or silenced, it's the American people who ultimately pay the price.
So what can be done?
Yeah.
You know, how do we address this crisis? How do we support the federal workforce? Where do we go from here?
That's a tough question, and I don't think there are any easy answers. But I think it's going to require a multifaceted approach, you know, involving legal challenges, legislative action, public awareness campaigns, and even individual acts of courage and solidarity.
I think you're right. You know, we need to hold those in power accountable for their actions. We need to protect whistleblowers.
Yeah.
And we need to reaffirm the importance of a nonpartisan civil service free from political interference and intimidation.
It's a fight that requires the participation of everyone who values a functional democracy and a government that serves the needs of its people, not just the interests of the powerful.
Well said.
Yeah.
You know, this deep dive into the old National Park Service, it's really taken us on quite a journey.
It has.
From climate change denial and citizen resistance to the very heart of the federal government, it's been fascinating and at times pretty unsettling.
It's an ongoing story, and the full impact of these events remains to be seen. But one thing is clear, the fight for environmental protection, government accountability, and really the very soul of our democracy, it requires our attention, it requires our engagement, and it requires our unwavering commitment.
And for anyone listening out there who's feeling overwhelmed or discouraged by all of this, just remember, you're not alone. Millions of people share these concerns, and they're working to make a difference. So connect with them, get involved, stay informed. We can make a difference if we work together.
And if you're looking for more information on the connection between climate change and political action, I highly recommend following meteorologist Rob Jones on social media. He's a great resource for staying up to date on these issues.
That's a great suggestion. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Meteorology Matters. We'll see you next time.